Welcome to That's Feminism, Bro. I'm your host, Bridget Van Buskirk, and together we explore diverse voices in modern female strength. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, how's it going? The sound you may hear in the background is about 11 kids running around our backyard playing football. I say about 11 kids because it looks like one or two of them are doing something that's not entirely playing football. It's maybe more wrestling, more snowball fight. I'm not really sure. I can't imagine what parents say when they're like, we're going over to this house. The parents are probably like, darn it, again? Like, these people are savages. But with that note, I'm here to offer some parenting advice. So please, come on in. Actually, I thought it had been a long time since we last ran through some questions. I think it was around September episode. So I wanted to circle back and do it again. I don't get a ton of questions, but I do get relatively consistent ones. And it's always really humbling. And I appreciate your considering me when you're considering your concerns. I also want to encourage you to pursue other outlets. Actually, there's something great about asking somebody you don't know at all. Like, that's the category that I fall into, because then there's no judgment. But it's also always great to ask somebody who knows you really, really well, because there's a lot missing. Sometimes I get incredibly long questions with a lot of detail in them. But even then, it's still so, there's so much nuance to life. So there's a lot missing from that. But anyway, I was going to go ahead and run through some of these really quickly if you guys have a minute, and we'll see where we stand. And feel free, those of you that want to interact, to hit us up, because whoever is asking these questions is looking for some advice, and it doesn't have to be from me. So if you have a question that you heard and you have some insight, please, please, please share it. I don't know how you're going to reach them directly, but if you just post it somewhere through me, then maybe they'll find it as well. And for those of you that asked, I appreciate you sending stuff in. So here we go. Let's kick it off. I'm 23. I have a bit of car debt and college debt. Sprinkle some credit card debt in, but I have a full-time job with a decent salary and I'm smart with my money and relatively responsible. Any tips or tricks? Let me do that again. 23, car debt, college debt, some credit card debt. Okay, and a full-time job. So that's not uncommon coming out of college and having probably those three or four debts on you. And a decent salary. So we had somebody on that discussed finances before, and I thought she was really interesting. That was Janine, if you ever want to pull that episode back up. She said, and I've heard this a couple times before, and it always blows my mind, but that you should have multiple sources of income. So when you're 50, that's easy because you have stocks, and you might have a rental property, and you might have your home, and then you might have your job, and maybe you're even, you know, military or retired, and then you have the second job. So I get that that's possible eventually, but it's also possible now, even if you're young, even if you're, you said you're 23. So get a side gig, whether it's a Shipt Shopper or Grubhub or something like that, or it's stuff on Etsy. You can always grab a little side hustle in addition to your job. And then I think you make that money maybe your fun money, and you make everything else just moving yourself forward. And if it didn't come out of your like second income fun money, then maybe it shouldn't count for anything and you don't get your nails done or whatever it is. So I love the idea of the few incomes one, and I know it sounds really intimidating at first, but it doesn't have to be huge. It can be nannying or babysitting once every couple weeks for somebody. There are a whole bunch of different books to look into about paying off debt. And the one that seems to be most popular right now is the concept of paying off your small debt first and getting rid of it, because there's a sense of accomplishment that comes with that that motivates you to move forward. So instead of picking apart the big one, which is probably college tuition, you can take the little hospital stay visit and you can bang that out. And then that's one less credit card you're going to receive. That's one less debt you're going to receive. And then you work towards the other ones. I really do encourage you to check Janine out, though, because money and I aren't super friendly and I'm not a great source. But those are just some ideas, so enough to kick you off. I hope that helps. Oh, here's one. I broke off my engagement by choice, but I'm heartbroken. I'm not ready to move on. My friends say I should. First of all, I'm sorry. Sorry that that happened. I don't know the circumstances, but I do know that for me And I hope for you, and I hope for everybody, marriage is a lifetime commitment. It's not a couple months, we'll see how it goes, and then, you know, in 30 years, I'll have four or five exes under my belt. I think marriage is a covenant between a husband and a wife that lasts and is unbreakable. So if you broke off your engagement, I'm assuming it's because you saw something that would not make the marriage last. And I celebrate that because it's a really challenging thing when you know, like, maybe it's something like kids or where you want to live or your job, and it's just something that you guys agree on absolutely everything but this one thing, and you absolutely love each other, and you start to realize, though, I'm going to be fighting this battle. We're not going to agree on this. He's made it clear where he stands, and I made it clear where I stand, and we're not going to be able to get past that. That's really hard. That's a really, really hard way to end a relationship, because you still do love them. It's just this one thing that you guys can't get past. So I celebrate your knowing what you really want, if that was the case, and knowing that this person wouldn't fit into that idea of what you want. But absolutely, I understand that's hard. Actually, we were just talking about you the other day, not you specifically, but this concept of grief was on one of our earlier episodes. And it's hard when it's a, I see people write something like this a lot, where it was a grief that they took on, that they chose to take on in a sense, and they still hurt from it and still long from it. No doubt you said goodbye to somebody that you were committing, that you were planning on spending the rest of your life with. You said yes, you got engaged. I don't know how far into the process you were, but you had decided that this was a good person to complete you, and now you've realized that they're not. And so for sure there's going to be grief in that. I think I was in like college where somebody said you do a half life. I don't know if this is true. So if you're dating somebody for 8 months, you get 4 months of recovery time. If you're dating someone for 3 years, you get a year and a half of recovery time. You take the half life of the relationship, and that's how long you get to, get over them. I don't know. That sounds really, really ridiculous. I don't know if there's any merit to that. But, when we were talking about grief the other day, Lisa had said, it's on you. You got to just kind of take it day by day. And there isn't a recipe for this. So maybe you meet a guy or gal and you're dating within a couple weeks. Or maybe you meet somebody that's friends for a long time first, and they can tell you're getting over something, and then it develops later. But you got to one, keep living your life, because you can't lock yourself up. You're young. The reason you made the choice you made was most likely because you felt like you had a lot of life ahead of you, and you didn't think you would be able to share it with this person. So if you felt like you had a lot of life ahead of you, you still have a lot of life ahead of you. You can't just go buckle down somewhere in a cave. So now you got to start living the life that you knew was ahead of you. And maybe that means opening yourself up to a couple friends that you go out and have drinks with, or a run club that you join, but it doesn't necessarily mean getting back on the horse just yet. Take your time, move on when you're ready to move on. So that's all for that one. How about this? Just, I'm single, I'm independent, and I want to stay safe. This is my favorite one. It's, how many words is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like less than 10 words. There's no question in there whatsoever. But I'm going to take it and say that you are a single independent woman. So you're active and you're doing stuff, and you want to stay safe and make sure that you're doing stuff safely. One, always call and let people know where you're going or what you're doing. So whether it's a bar and you're leaving and you want to go hit another bar and your friends don't want to, then text them all and say, hey, I'm leaving and I'm going to this other place, and know where you're going. And even if you change your plan and you see another bar, then you text and you say, hey, I just got into this bar. Always, always, always make sure that somebody knows where you are. I think that's really important. My mom just lost her phone a little bit ago, and I was wondering, is there a way that I can have a find her phone on my phone, even though she's a couple states away? If that sort of thing's possible, I have no idea. I don't look into it. I just had a quick flash of an idea and then forgot about it until just right now. But if something like that exists, then have a good buddy that can be like, here, you have access to my phone. You have access to a key to my car. You have access to a key to my house. You know basically my work schedule, and you've maybe met my boss once or twice. These are all things that are just going to help, if anything should go wrong in your life, to keep you safe. And then the other thing that I kind of thought about this stay safe was maybe maybe you want to think about self-defense classes if you're young and single and independent. If you're single and independent, then you're out and about a lot on your own. So you might be out and about traveling other countries, or you might be out and about at a vacation spot, or you might just be out and about in your neighborhood. But if you're alone, you want to make sure that you can defend yourself. I have somebody that I can't wait to come on, and he's a firearm specialist, and he's going to talk a little bit more. I know we touched on this very briefly in the beginning of my podcasting journey about women and handguns, and I own one, and it makes me feel really confident. And I don't bring it with me all the time. There's a lot of times that it's at home, but I do bring it with me sometimes, and I would love to be in the habit of bringing it with me all the time. And I think you can be as turned off by that as you want to be. And if you're not interested, please don't have it. That's another really important thing. Don't carry something that you're not going to use that somebody else might use against you. But if it's something that is a turnoff just because it's terrifying, then I encourage you to go somewhere safe and learn about it. And things, you know, the unknown is always scary, but the second it becomes the known, it might become a big benefit for you. So I'm not sure with your 10 or less words if that was the answer, but I hope it was. Also, that's just a couple, but they all sound like young women, and I'm super excited because I want to reach you guys. You guys are my guys, so I'm excited that you're asking questions. Thanks so much. Who really has to love my significant other? I mean, besides me. I feel like I'm up against a wall sometimes. This is a great question. If somebody, your family, your friends, your coworkers love you, then they will love anybody that makes you happy. Absolutely. If their intentions are pure and they truly love you, not jealousy or anger, but if they love you, they will love anybody that makes you happy. That's the crux though, because they might know your happiness better than you do. You might think you know your happiness in that, oh, but he's hot and he's funny and he makes a lot of money. But they might know your happiness in that they know, oh, if she's with this guy, he's always going to be traveling and she's such a homebody. Or, oh, they might see you a little bit more deeply than you see yourself sometimes. So if it's people that truly love you and they don't believe in this person, then one, let's get emotion out of it. Because if they truly love you, they should be able to say, hey, no hard feelings, man. I think he's great. I just don't know if he's a good match for you because. And then you can't get defensive. But you got to listen to those. They might have terrible ideas. They might say, oh, I think he's a bad match for you because you're allergic to dogs and he loves his dog. And you might be like, no, man, I got shots, or actually he hates his dog, or whatever. I don't know what the answer is. But they might be wrong. But they might also have some insight that you haven't thought about. And as long as you're coming at it calm and chill, it doesn't have to become even a full discussion. They can just send you a text and then you can sit with it on your own and really think about what they're saying. But actually at the end of the day, no, nobody needs to love the person you love but you. You're the person that's going to be stuck with them. And I do say stuck because sometimes if this is a life partner, there's a big challenge in this and it's got to last and you've got to get through it. We talked about that kind of in the beginning. So if it's a person that you know you love, then who cares what they think? You've got to stick with it because this is going to get hard a lot of times. It does make it a little bit easier if you have a couple people in your corner. If you have nobody in your corner, I would think that that's probably a red flag. But even at the very least, if you have a couple people in your corner, then when it gets tough, you know you can talk to them openly and honestly without them saying, oh, see, I told you so. So at the end of the day, no, it just has to be you. You're going to carry their baggage with you. You're going to have to live with their flaws. So make sure that it's absolutely you. And then ask. Always ask and find out why they're not on your team on that. I'm thinking of doing a podcast. What do you think? Where do I even start? You're definitely not asking a pro right now. So that's first and foremost. Later on, you're going to hear a shameless plug for Buzzsprout, which is what I use. But actually, I'm not even going to do it right now because there's so many resources out there. There's so many blogs. There's podcasts about starting podcasts. There's a ton of information out there. So you can get it. And then equipment can be as cheap or expensive as you want. And a studio can be a studio, or it can be your laptop at your kitchen table. You don't even need a mic because most computers or laptops have mics and cameras built in. So you could do this incredibly cheaply. And I encourage you. I think there's a lot of voices that can be heard out there. I think it's a great medium to move into. And I don't think it's over flooded the market right now. So go for it and give it a shot and just ask yourself to hang in there for a little bit. That's not super helpful, but it's at least a foundation just to say, stop hiding and maybe start doing it. I do think you should know what and why. I remember somebody telling me, if you can't come up with 25 topics before you record, then you're not ready, or it's not a good topic. And I thought that was really interesting. But if you've got the answer to that, I would say just go get online and get one done and see how you feel, and then get another one done and put yourself out there. That's really exciting. Go for it. I love the idea of new challenges. I'm in a much better place than I was 3 years ago, but I'm still seeing my therapist. I think I'm ready to cut my ties. What are your thoughts? I feel like this is totally not my place, but then again, I feel that way about all of these, and they aren't, but you're asking, so I'll give you my humble opinion, and you can take it the way you want to take it. First of all, I'm glad that you feel strong and healthy and confident and all the things that maybe you weren't so sure about when you started 3 years ago, and I'm super, super thankful that you feel so much growth, because that's the biggest part of this, is that you're constantly growing and evolving and becoming more self-aware. So congratulations on that. Sometimes I think that's a big journey and a long journey. And at the beginning of the journey, it feels like you're never going to get out of wherever you are. I don't totally know a lot about therapy, but I would say that when it comes to health and then mental health and even, you know, the health of your car, you know, a tune-up is a good thing. So your therapist would know way more about this than you would. But if you feel like you're ready to move on, then I would do a little thing where you try to, I don't know how the system works, but you do a check-in occasionally or, every 6 months or something. But I would try to keep, certainly don't burn any bridges, I guess is what I'm saying. If you feel like you are so much better, then I am so happy for you. And I encourage you to get out and see. Yeah, you want to make sure that you're not walking like Bambi those first couple of days, but that you're walking strong. But if that's the case and you're ready to move forward, absolutely be ready to move forward. But always keep in mind that a checkup isn't a bad thing. You know, you want to make sure that you are feeling this good 3 years from now as well. So as long as you're staying on top of that, I think that's it. The final question. This is one of my faves too. This one and the short one were my favorites. Do I have to be friends with my kids' friends' parents? I had to read it a couple of times. Do I have to be friends with my kids' friends' parents? No. No, you do not. Your kids' friends are your kids' friends. You do not have to do the mom's group thing with them. And especially if you have several children and they're all different ages, and especially if their personalities are really different than you. I have a couple kids that are really social, so they have tons and tons of friends, and their friends are all loudmouths. And then I have kids that are shy and have like that one or two really good friends, but the kid's really quiet and it's hard to get to know his parents. They're really quiet. No, absolutely. You do you. You don't have to be friends with anybody you don't want to be friends with. This kind of goes back to that one earlier about a relationship, though. Like, you want to only invest in a thing that you know that is worth investing in. And I know that might sound selfish, but I got a busy life, and I only ever want to put time into the time that matters. I'm not going to lie in bed at the end of the night and say, well, that was a waste. I spent the whole day, and I got nothing accomplished. So my friendships they matter to me. Even the small ones, even like the PTO friends that I have that I only see twice a month for a couple hours, I like them. And I'm there because I like the people, and I'm there because I like the cause. And the friends that live in other states that I have trouble keeping in contact with, but I do keep in contact with, is because they matter. Even though I haven't seen them in years and may not see them in years, that those relationships are important to me. So please don't put any time and effort. Well, that sounds bitchy. Maybe not don't put any time and effort, but please don't invest in a friendship that you know is never going to be a deep friendship. I like to think about it like, do I trust this person? Like, if I had some shit going on, could I turn to this person? If not, okay, good. Then arm's length is good enough. You don't have to be a jerk. I mean, you know, if your kid is with these other kids all the time, and you're dropping them off at their houses, and you're dropping them off at the practice, and you're taking them to the park, like, okay, well, you should definitely have enough that you can get through a conversation. You don't need to go out of your way to despise these people or exclude these people, but no, you don't need to be best friends with them. Okay, I think that's all. That puts us at like 20 minutes, so that's about where I want to stay. Please please review, guys. Please like. If you have friends or two, feel free to share. Ratings are equally acceptable. Just go ahead and do all the things, because I love when you do all the things. And I did promise you earlier a quick Buzzsprout plug, and I do want to do that. That is what I use. So Buzzsprout, for those of you looking to start a podcast, it's a source online that I plug my podcast into, and it uploads it to everywhere. So I have my podcast playing on 18 different mediums. Apple, Google, those, Spotify, those are all the big ones, but it's got all these obscure little ones, and it plugs it right in, and it gives me a website to keep it, and it tracks what I did and where I put it. Starts with some gear that you already have and a quiet space, and then you're ready to go. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has free, and then it even has monthlies where it gives you a certain amount of hours. And so since we keep these pretty short, I have a sort of minimum plan, but it saves all of my work and it saves all of my stuff. I strongly suggest you go for it. And of course, there's a $20 Amazon gift card that you can receive if you sign up. And please come through here. Go through me if you're considering doing this, because then they'll know that I sent you and I'll get a little bit of attention from them too, which I wouldn't hate. That's it, guys. That's feminism, bro. If you have any more questions, I love getting them. These are always my favorites. It's just so fun to see what you guys are like and about, and what your concerns are and what your plans are and how you're doing. And I love to hear about that. So that's it. That's feminism, bro. Thanks for sitting in. I would love to hear from you. You can find me on social media with my Facebook, Bridget Van Buskirk, my Insta at That's Feminism Bro, or contact me via email, thatsfeminismbro@gmail.com, to ask any questions or concerns. If you'd like to support the show, I would totally appreciate that, and we can link up on Patreon. Please take a minute to review, subscribe, and share.